Testing 1, 2. Let me ask a couple of questions quickly. What church are you from? What church are you from originally? Catholic. Catholic. And you originally? Pipika. Happy clappy. And what church are you from? Yeah. What church are you from?
I'm from the Christian Joy Center.
Christian Joy Center. Yeah. Okay. Charismatic. There we go. Algernon. Yeah. There we go. And you?
Catholic.
And you?
All
you're all Catholics. All right. There we go. All Catholics. And you?
Catholic.
Catholic. And you? Leven Centrum. All right. Let me ask it this way. Are there any Baptists in the house? Baptist, there we go. Any Methodists? There we go. Enige NG Kerk mense. There we go. Why am I asking these questions? Let me tell you why I'm asking these questions. Because I don't care where you come from, we serve the same God. Can we agree to that? And would you agree with me that it is God's heart for the lost to be saved? For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. God wants the works of the devil destroyed in every single person's life. And the works of the devil cannot be destroyed until salvation comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now I want to ask you a question. One of the greatest commissions that we have is to be fishers of men. Am I right? Then we have a responsibility, don't we? How many lost people here in this area?
Plenty.
Plenty. Trixie, how many lost people in this area? Too many to count. Well, shouldn't the church be doing something about that? It's just a question. How many of you believe we should be doing something about that? Okay, raise your hands if you are a fisher of men. Okay, now if you are a fisher of men, what do you have at your disposal that can help you to bring in the harvest? Well, every fisherman has a net. Look at your neighbor and say, can't you see my net? Okay, if you can't see the net, I'll pray for you later. Your imagination is not working. Auntie Debs, is your imagination working? Otherwise, I can make you put your finger up your nose and we can switch it on. All right. I'm just having a bit of fun. She hasn't been here for a while, eh? Okay. Put your net in your right hand. Okay, let's just quickly recap. Where are we going? You are a fisher of men. And God honors faith, right? Everything we do in the kingdom of God, we do by faith. So what are we going to do with this net? We're going to throw it out. We're going to cast it out. How many people do you know, even just in your circle, that are not saved? Quite a few. Some of you are thinking of your boss. Some of you are thinking of your mother-in-law. Some of you are thinking of your children. Why are you laughing? Your mother-in-law's next to you. She'll clap you. Now, I saw that. He was like, No, she's saved. That's why she's here in church tonight. She's actually quite okay. It's the mother-in-laws that are not here that we're worried about. Okay. So what are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to put your hand up. We do this by faith. God honors faith. I want you to make a declaration with me. I want you to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I report for duty. I am a fisher of men. And by faith tonight, I'm going to cast out this net. I am sending forth the word of God. I am sending forth my net to every lost soul, to every prostitute, to every pedophile, to every Satanist, to every crime lord, to everybody that needs salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cast my net. I want you to throw out your net. You throw it out. Now, you can't just throw out the net. You got to bring it back in. Start pulling your net in. Come, pull it in. Pull it in. Pull it in. Pull it in. There we go. There we go. Lord, I thank you that the lost are going to be saved. I thank you that salvation is coming into this area. I thank you that the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to spread through this place like wildfire. And I thank you that godly change is going to manifest. I thank you for healing. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for restoration in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The one thing that we all need is more faith. What is weird for man makes perfect sense to God. Amen. I want to read you a scripture. It's a very short little scripture. And then I'm just going to say a couple of things about that scripture. I'm going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 9. Amen. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Today I want to talk to you about what God did in my life and how God operated in my life. Every person here has a testimony, and it is important for you, it is vital for you to share your testimony with people because it gives people hope and it reveals to people how God operates. Let's get back to that scripture. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Who can I pick on? Mr. Lee. You're in trouble because I know your name. Okay. Listen to what that scripture says. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind can conceive what God has prepared. I want to tell you something. Your tomorrow exists with God already. You just don't know what it is. And what is my tomorrow? Well, let's look at that scripturally. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. I want to take you back a couple of years in my life. I grew up in a very Christian household. My father was very, very on fire for God. As long as I can remember, he was always talking about God. My dad was a Sunday school teacher at school. My dad was a teacher. He used to run the religious studies. I was in charge for the CA sphere. My dad was very busy with the kingdom of God and the work of God. I grew up in this Christian home. But unfortunately, for a period of time, I was actually quite far from God. I wasn't that close to God. I knew about God. That doesn't mean I knew God. I just knew about God. I prayed. I was quite religious. I wouldn't go to sleep at night without saying my prayers. I read my Bible quite faithfully. Not that it ever made much sense to me, because I was reading and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But at least I read it and I felt safe when I went to sleep, because now I've prayed and I've read my Bible. Little did I realize that I was actually quite far from God. It is amazing how religious you can be and still not know God. But all of that was about to change, because you see, God had a plan for my life. Getting back to that scripture, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. I want to speak specifically to the young people that are here today. You think you know what your future holds, you have no idea. But when you begin to serve God and you get in line with what God wants for your life, God begins to direct your steps and your life begins to go where God wants, and blessings begin to flow because of your obedience. So here I was quite far from God. I didn't really serve God. I was just religious, and God had a plan for my life. Unfortunately, the world was calling. I used to club a lot. I used to party a lot. In fact, I used to be out at the clubs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I couldn't find one open on a Sunday. Otherwise, I would have been there. But because the club wasn't open on a Sunday, I used to go and drink at somebody else's house just to make sure that everything was okay. And you know, the thing is, I stopped going to church. I drifted away from God. And I fell into worldliness in a very big way. And then one day, my father, one Monday morning, I'll never forget, my father, I was living in the cottage at the back of the property. My parents were living in the main house. I went and I had coffee with my father. And that morning, my father says to me, "Wow, you know, Rian, there was this preacher that came and preached at the church last night. And it was quite amazing because so many things happened." I already started feeling a bit uncomfortable because now my dad is talking church here. And me, I know I'm far from God, so I'm feeling a little bit harassed. But because it's my dad, I'm quiet and I'm listening. And he starts telling me the things that happened at the church. And he actually tells me that this gentleman prophesied over people. In other words, he was giving words to people concerning their life as if God was speaking to the people. And then he prayed for people and the people would fall over and things would happen. Now you must understand me, I'm very far from God. I'm living in the world. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this testimony and I'm thinking to myself, ooh, that doesn't sound like a place for me. I'm feeling extremely uncomfortable. And the next moment my dad says, "You need to go to one of these meetings." I'm thinking, oh, you must be joking. It doesn't sound to me like that's the place I want to be. Now, you must understand my perspective. I'm living far from God. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. I'm drunk every now and then and messing around. And now I'm hearing that this man is talking to people like God is giving a word to him. And the first thing that comes to my mind is this: when I stand in front of this man, all my sins are going to be exposed to everybody. And I'm reckoning to myself, this is going to be a disaster. I'll never be able to show my face in the south of Joburg again. So right there, I made up my mind, I'm going to be as far away from that place as possible. But you know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has planned for your life. And I was about to realize that scripture is true. Do you know what happened? I forgot completely about the gentleman that was going to come to the church. It was a month later. And it's amazing how God works. Normally on a Sunday, I would be pickled. And you know, when I talk about pickled, I act bedoel gewein. You know, I was like a... But that day, it was actually a friend of mine's girlfriend's birthday, and she refused to allow anybody to drink at her birthday party, which we were all complaining bitterly about. But God obviously had a plan, because later that night something was about to happen in my life. I just didn't know about it. So here's the thing. After the birthday party, there's somebody that needs a lift, and they actually need a lift to Kibla Park, which is where my church is. And as I'm driving into Kibla Park, and also another interesting fact, I just got my cell phone that week. My cell phone rings. Oh, I'm all excited. I'm getting a phone call. You know, it's my father. He says, "Where are you?" I say, "I'm in Kibla Park." He says, "Great. I'll meet you at the church." Now I'm thinking to myself, oh, this can't be happening to me. You know, if he didn't ask me where I was and tell me about the church, or if he asked me about the church first and he asked me where I was, I would have been in Boksburg. But now I've already put myself at the scene of the crime, you know. Now I'm in the dwang. Anyway, to make a long story short, now I'm trying to wangle my way out of this because I don't want to go to church. I'm feeling very uncomfortable about this whole thing. I say to my dad, "Oh, Dad, you know what? I've got a whole bunch of people here with me in the car, and it's not even my car. We're driving with somebody else, and I'm sure these people don't want to go there. Can't we make it for another day?" So my dad says to me, "Invite them to come to church." Now, I'm not going to name the people that were in the car with me, but let me tell you something. They were all uncircumcised Philistines. They were like really, really, they needed God a lot more than me. That's all I can say. And so I say to them, "Guys, my dad says there's something happening at the church. He wants us to go over. Who would like to go to church?" The next moment, my mind was blown because everybody says, "Yeah, sure, let's go to church." Now you must understand something. I'm in the twilight zone here because this just never happens. I want to tell you something. You could never, ever, ever duplicate or replicate what happened there that day. If you asked them any other day of the year to go to church, they would have told you, you must be mad. What are you smoking? You know, it's like, but that night they wanted to go to church. The Holy Spirit was already in the car with us because God had a plan. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has planned for your life. We rock up at the church. I walk into the church. I'm like, I reverse all the way to the back. I feel a bit more secure when I've got the back, well, my back against the wall. It's like I'm hiding at the back, yeah. If anything funny happens, there's a door right there. I'm gone, you know. So I sit at the back. The preacher comes out. He preaches a very good sermon. I don't want to be funny, but it was one of the best sermons I've ever heard. I can still remember the whole sermon. And then something very strange begins to happen. It begins to feel to me as if this person is preaching only to me. Everybody else disappears in that church. It's like I'm sitting there and every word is piercing through my ears into my heart. Has anybody ever had heart palpitations? What is your name again, sir? Yes. Neville, is that your wife next to you? It's not your wife. Okay. It's just a friend of yours. Okay, I thought it was his wife. I was going to ask him, can you remember when the both of you were young and you saw her with a nice little mini Rocky on and your heart started going boom, titty, boom, titty, boom, you know? Like, rrr. Neville knows what I'm talking about. Check that smile. Now I've taken him back. He's going to leave now and go and look for his wife. Okay, so anyway, I'm sitting there in the back of the church and I start getting heart palpitations. My heart starts beating. It feels like it's going to climb out of my chest. I'm starting to think I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling ill. Then it's not just heart palpitations. I start feeling all weird and funny. In fact, I actually started feeling nauseous. Now I'm convinced that I'm sick and I'm convincing myself I have to leave. I don't want to be here. I need to go. And my mind makes a decision, get up and leave. Do you know what happened? My legs stopped working. I'm not joking. Everything in me said, get up. When I wanted to get up, I had no strength. My legs would not obey my mind. I'm sitting there and I'm feeling worse and worse and worse and I can't get out of there. I can't leave. Now, I'm freaking out because my legs have just stopped working. I'm freaking out because I've got heart palpitations. I'm freaking out because the words are cutting into me. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how bad can things get? And then he gets to the end of his message, which was a pretty much salvation-based message. The kind of like the gist of the message was, if you've messed up a lot and you want to make right with God, then you come forward and we're going to pray for you. Do you know what happened? Whatever was holding me, it felt like something was holding me onto that chair. Whatever was holding me, the moment he said those words, it released me. Whew, I got up and I started walking forward. And as I was walking forward, it felt like there was a war going on inside of me. It felt like there was one part of me that was shouting at me, this is ridiculous, this is nonsense, this is ludicrous, you don't need this stuff, you're not like these people, don't mix with this nonsense, get out of here. And then there was this other part speaking inside of me that says, it's time for your life to go in a different direction. It's time for you to make your peace with God. And I had this turmoil going on inside me. I actually felt my legs begin to shake. And you know what? I made a decision. And I want to tell you something. Nobody can make that decision for you. Your mom can't force you. Your dad can't force you. Your children can't force you. Your husband, your wife can't force you. Your teacher can't force you. The police can't force you. You have to make that decision for yourself. I came to a place where I realized that, you know what? It is time for my life to start going somewhere. And it's time for me to confront some realities. And I just had this thing inside of me, tonight, I'm going forward. When I made that decision, something happened. Again, I felt like something released me, and I was walking forward. I went and I stood in the front there. Coming from an NG Kerk background, we're not used to stuff like that. Like some of you sitting here tonight might not be used to the things that's going to happen later when we pray, but it's all good. The Holy Spirit operates. God does what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, and He doesn't have to ask your permission. And we must accept that God is sovereign and God can do what He wants. I stood in the front there and I started seeing these things happen. This oak was praying for people and this one was falling and that one was falling and he was prophesying over people and it was very strange for me. And the next moment, while I'm still looking there, this man is standing in front of me. And he looks like, he's looking in my eyes, but it looks like he's looking right through me. I felt afraid. I felt very afraid. I had this thing, ooh, what is this oak going to say now? And then he opened his mouth. And he prophesied over my life. The things he said was pretty much true. And while he was talking to me, I had this amazing sensation as if a rush of energy, a rush of power went through my entire body. And I began to just feel as light as a feather. And boom, I was on the floor. This man was still speaking something over my life and I could hear what he was saying. But by now my mind was racing at a million miles an hour because I was like, oh my goodness, what is happening here? It then began to feel like something came down. Almost like an invisible hand came down and gently began to push upon me. And I began to feel these waves go through me. It's the only way I can explain it. It felt like a wave came through me. And as this wave went through me, I started feeling lighter. The wave came and went. It would wash over me, and then for a while there would be nothing, and then it would come again. I cried a lot. At one stage I laughed, but I predominantly cried. As these waves went over me, I felt lighter and lighter and lighter. Now, I want to explain something to you. While I was lying there on the floor, I spoke to God like I'd never spoken to God before. I told you, I prayed every night, but I never really spoke to God. You know, once I was watching Bart Simpson. Homer Simpson says to Bart Simpson, pray for the meal. Bart Simpson says, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Well, that was what he said. Now, for me, the way I used to pray was a little bit like Bart Simpson. I had my little rhyme and I said it at night and then it pacified me and I felt better. But I never spoke to God. I came up with some rhyme. I always said the same stuff. Now, for the first time, my mind is blown because I just felt God touch me. You know, I always believed in God, but I never experienced God. That night, I experienced God and it was too big for my mind. And I lay there and for the first time in my life, I spoke to God. I spoke to God about my life. I cried. I cried about things that happened. I cried about things that were going to happen. I had all this emotion going through my person. This lasted for roughly 5 hours. This presence that was on me did not release me. Do you know what happened? It came to almost 12 o'clock at night. The Domini walks up to my dad. He says to my dad, listen, yeah, we have to lock the church. My dad says, well, I don't know. Something is still happening. He says, here's the keys. Please lock and put the key in the mailbox. They locked the church. I'm still there. Sometime after midnight, this presence just slowly lifted off me. I felt it and I realized whatever was happening was finished. I got up off the floor. I want to tell you something. I felt as light as a feather. I felt I didn't have a care in the world. I wasn't stressed about anything. I had no fears. I had no worry. I had no concern. I had nothing. I just felt completely different. We went home. My dad took me home. I went to bed that night and I actually couldn't fall asleep because I was thinking about what happened. Eventually, in the very early hours of the morning, I fell asleep, and then the next morning I woke up again, and immediately I remembered everything that happened. And I'll never forget, I went and I sat on the bed. And again, I spoke to God, and I said to the Lord, I'm blown away by what happened to me last night. You must understand something. If you live your whole life believing there is a God, but never really experiencing that God, and one night you actually have the experience of who God is and what God is capable of, it changes your entire life. And it changes your perspective on many things. I sat there and I began to speak to God. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I've never given much thought to my life. You know, I was always, you know, there's a party, we go party. There's something to do, we do it. I just lived for the moment. But for the first time in my life, I sat there and I thought to myself, but why am I here? Now that I know that I know that I know that God is real, I have this realization that He probably put me on this earth to do something. And I said to the Lord, Lord, it's just dawned on me. I must be here for a reason. And then I said these words, and I said it out loud. I said, Lord, if you put me on this earth because you want to use me, I'm available. But I have one request. Whatever that oak had that prayed for me last night, I want that. You give me that, you can use me anytime, anywhere, any place. I was a bit stupid because I didn't know what I was praying, but it came from my heart. And guess what? God heard my prayer. You know, in that week, I had my own business. I used to work for myself, which gave me a lot of free time. And I went to see a woman for work. I did some work for her. I walk into her office, and as I walk into her office, I get this very uncomfortable feeling, something that I never had before. You know, women have lots of feelings. Men, we don't have much feelings. We just like, we cruise, you know? But I walk into this woman's office, and I have this like weird feeling. I get this emotion of sadness and like hopelessness, and this feeling doesn't want to let me go. And I'm sitting there and we're talking business, but the whole time my mind is like, something here is not right. Now I want to say something else about me. For the people that know me well, they know that the person you see here preaching and the person that you see out in the streets is two different people. I'm actually a quiet and reserved person. If my parents were here, they would confirm that to you totally. My father many times says to me, he's blown away by the way I am when I preach because I'm not like that normally. I'm actually quite quiet. Back then, I was 10 times worse. I never used to really talk. I used to speak to my friends because I'm comfortable with them, but I didn't really converse with strangers. And one thing that I had a big problem with was praying. I remember when we were in the Sunday school, they always used to work according to this kind of like, we're going down the list. It's you to pray, and then it's you to pray, and then it's you to pray. And every time when it was my turn to pray, now the whole time I'm sitting there trying to come up with something that sounds relatively intelligent to pray, you know? But I first have to overcome the fear that I have of opening my mouth to pray. Now I'm going through all of this, and then, that's what I'm going to pray. Then the schmuck next to me prays exactly what I wanted to pray. You know, it's like, hello? And then it's like the guy that's in charge says, okay, Rihanna, now you. Then it's like, It used to be a big problem for me to pray. To talk about God was a problem. Yeah, I'm sitting in this woman's office. I'm having these weird feelings. I'm having these weird emotions going through me. The next thing I know, I'm opening my mouth and I start talking to this woman about God. That never happened before. And the next thing, words start coming out of my mouth that I never planned on saying. And I spoke about what I felt and I spoke to her about what's going on in her life. I can't remember everything that I said. But the next moment, this woman is crying snot and trane. Now I'm feeling very awkward because I wasn't trying to do that. But you know what? I said to her, let's pray. I prayed with her. Something happened. I can't tell you exactly what, but she felt something happen. And she couldn't stop talking about what happened and, you know, what God did for her. Eventually I left. I remember it was in Edenvale. I walked out of the offices, I walked into the street, I turned around, I looked back at the building, and I thought to myself, what on earth just happened there? Because that was so not me. You couldn't pay me enough money to do that a week ago. But suddenly it just came by itself. And you know, there God began to change my life. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. I want to tell you something. Today, if you go to the people that grew up with me, you can go and talk to my brother. You can speak to my parents. You can speak to the friends that I had when I was growing up. Nobody would ever, ever guess that I would become an evangelist one day. Because I couldn't do it. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. I couldn't do it, but God could. You see, God put things in me that I wasn't aware of. And I needed an encounter with God for what God put in me to start operating. And I want to say something to all of you sitting here. You have no idea what is inside of you. Inside of every one of us is a destiny locked in. There is a purpose placed inside of us. There are giftings put in us to enable us to do what God has called us to do. But outside of God, you will never know what that is. You need the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to energize, to activate what God put inside. You see, I didn't realize it, but that night while I was under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, God was busy opening up something inside of me that was always there, but I didn't realize it was. And when the opportunity arose, what was inside came outside by itself. To say that my life changed from that day on is an understatement. Suddenly, I had the boldness to speak to anybody about God. That freaked even me out sometimes, because I wasn't used to that. You know, sometimes we joke and we say, oh, who are you and what have you done with so-and-so? I had this thing, who are you and what have you done with Rian? Because I'm not the same person. I want to tell you something. You cannot truly meet with God and remain the same person, because then you did not truly meet God. When you meet with God and the power of God comes into your life, it changes you. It changes who you are. Do you know why it changes you? Because it brings what God put inside of you and it manifests it. It transforms you. I began to speak to people about God. And then something really, really, really strange happened. The problem that I had to pray with people or to pray before was gone completely. And a very interesting phenomenon began to take place, because people would come to me from all over, from everywhere and from nowhere, and start talking to me about their problems. It was like I was a magnet and I attracted these kind of people. And I would stand there and I would listen, or I would sit there and I would listen, and I would say, okay, but let's pray about it. And then things began to happen. I would pray with the people and things would happen. Like demons would begin to manifest. You must take into account that I come from a church background where demons might have been real in the Old Testament, and demons might have been real when Jesus walked the earth, but demons are not real now. They're a figment of people's imagination. We don't have to deal with it because Jesus dealt with it all. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. Well, I want to tell you something. That was not my experience. One of the first encounters that I had, there was a girl that attended the church that I was in at that stage. Her brother had a lot of problems, and I was talking to her the one day and she said, can I bring my brother to you for prayer? I said, yes, of course. That night the brother rocks up at my house. He looks like a normal oak. It might have been you, Lee, or it might have been you. Is it Leon? Dion? Dion. It might even have been you, Mr. Bean. He just didn't have such a funny face, but you know, it might have been you. And so this guy rocks up there at my house. He looks quite normal. He goes, he sits down, he starts telling me about all of his problems. Okay, well, you know what? I know the Bible quite well because I spent a lot of my life reading it, even though I didn't understand it. And I'll say something about that now. I said to him, okay, fine. I think we must pray with you about all of these things. He said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I start praying with this guy. And the next moment, his whole body goes all funny. He bends over and these weird noises begin to come out of his mouth. If I didn't know better, it sounded like he was having a number two on my couch. It's like, Hello, what's happening? I'm checking this out. It's like something is happening. Well, I didn't know what to think. And I say to him, are you all right? And this funny voice speaks out of him. This was like Hollywood, I'm telling you. This funny voice speaks out of him. What I do remember is this man had a lot of sickness, and here and there was a mental problem as well. And this voice speaks out of him. It said something to the effect of, leave me alone. I am not leaving. Now, your mind is thinking, I never told the man to leave. And he's here because he wanted prayer. Why is he telling me to leave him alone? It took me a while to understand what was going on. But then I realized, when I saw his face, this is not the same person that walked into my house. Whatever's looking at me now looks very, very evil. So I asked, I said, who are you? And the demon gave me a name. I can't remember what the name was. Let's just say it was sickness or infirmity or torment or pijniging. The thing spoke to me in Afrikaans. Like the Punisher or something like that. I said, what do you do to this man? He says, you heard what I do. All the sicknesses that he mentioned, I make him sick. And then the demon began to laugh. He said to me, this idiot is spending a fortune on doctors and I'm the one causing the sickness. He will never get healed. I said, serious? I said, well, in the name of Jesus, you have to come out. The thing looked at me, he said, no. I thought, oh. Let me try that again. I decided to be very authoritative. In the name of Jesus, I command you, get out. And then we had a big fight on our hands. And about half an hour later, the demon was gone. By the grace of God, God expelled it. The Holy Spirit moved. Did I swear? Plenty times. Plenty times. This is why I pray for people in my jeans and my tracksuit and my tackies. Because praying for people is hard work. Believe me, it is. To make a long story short, the demon left this man. There wasn't just one demon, there was a whole bunch. But they all left that night, and every one of his symptoms disappeared. The stuff that the doctors could not sort out over many years was gone. He came and testified to me a couple of weeks or months later, I can't remember. And you know what? I was actually blown away. And the Lord began to teach me a lot of things. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those that love Him. You know, here was my life. When I was younger, I always wanted to have my own business. For some reason, that was always in me that one day I'm going to work for myself. Today, to a certain extent, I do. I just work for God, myself. And I had this thing that I want to have my own business, and one day I want my son to come and work for me, and then my other son or whatever, you know, I didn't know how many children I would have, but this was my dream. That I was going to work for myself, and I was going to have a company, and I was going to grow it, and it was always in me. And I was at that stage where I was living my dream. I already started working for myself, and God was blessing the work that I was doing, but God had another plan for my life. I had part of it right. The other part was completely wrong. And slowly but surely, God began to show me what His plan was for my life. And God began to reveal to me what His call was on my life. And that began to change my entire life. It wasn't always easy, but it was extremely rewarding. And I will not change anything that I've gone through. Because everything that I've gone through has made me the person that I am today. And the person that I am today is somebody that loves God, will do anything for Him, wants to make His name great, and wants to be useful. And you know what? I'm a much better person now than I was before. God brought a lot of wonderful changes into my life. Now, how did all of these changes come about? Two things had to happen. Number one, I had to come under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. God waited for that first moment where I was in a church where the power of God was moving, and boom, God zapped me. Secondly, I had to make certain choices in my life. You know, that day when the power of God came upon me, if I had forced it, probably I could have left, but I chose to stay. When I was walking down that aisle towards that man to pray for me, when that thing spoke to me and said, "This is not for you, get out of here," I could have listened and I could have walked out of there. I would have gone back to the world. I would have missed out on a lot of wonderful things, but I didn't. Sometimes you are in a place where you have an opportunity to encounter and to experience God. And just like me, you're going to have to make some choices about where you want to go with your life. And I want to say something to you. I'm not special. I'm not different from anybody. I have a feeling there's a lot of people sitting here. You are in exactly the same place where I was 20 years ago in my life. You're trying to live your life. The problem with that is there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. I was trying to live my life, and I was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit. But when I came to the place that I encountered God, when I encountered the Holy Spirit, and I made a choice to give my life over to Him and to truly begin to walk the way God wants me to walk, I began to experience the blessing of God upon my life. I began to experience healing in my person, restoration in my life, changes. You know, a lot of the abilities that I have now are all gifts from God. I didn't do nothing to deserve it. It was given freely. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege to preach to something like 500 pastors. I was invited to a pastor's conference. I went up there and I preached a sermon. I started praying for them, and I want to tell you something. The fire of God moved in that place. Pastors and pastors' wives were hopping and skipping and jumping and freaking and falling, and all sorts of things were happening. Afterwards, a woman came up to me who was the superintendent of one of the theological colleges represented there. She came up to me and she said to me, "Young man, I want to say something to you. I know your testimony that you did not go and study, you did not blah, 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 go to university, this, that. God called you, and I want to tell you something. If you were in my college and I had to assess the way that you go about preaching, exposing, blah, blah, you know," she gave me a whole bunch of stuff, "I give you an A+. And I said to her, "That's not because of me. That's in spite of me. That is the Holy Spirit." And she just laughed. When you begin to give God control of your life, a lot of very amazing things begin to happen. You will probably discover abilities that you never knew you had. You will discover things about yourself that never made sense before, but suddenly begin to make perfect sense. Why am I telling you all this? Because I know that most of us, the way we grow up in church settings where we do not really experience God. We read the Bible, and to some extent it makes sense, and to some extent it does not. Let me touch on what I said I would touch on later. When I was young, the Bible never used to make sense to me. I would read it and I would retain the information, but I had no real idea what to do with it. After my encounter with God, suddenly the Word of God just opened up to me. I could open any passage of Scripture and it spoke to me. It made sense to me. I could put it in the right place and I could bring it across to people in a way that made sense. Where did that come from? It's not me, because I never had it before, but suddenly I had it. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit was now in me, and the Holy Spirit was reading the Scripture with me and through me and opening up in my understanding what God wanted to say about that situation.
I do believe that we have a couple of people here that has never truly experienced God that way. You also religious. You also read your Bible. You also pray. You also do all sorts of things. But you've never truly encountered God. Now that's your problem. If you truly want to know where to go, if you truly want to know how to do things, if you really want God to show you what is inside of you, you first have to encounter God. And in order to encounter God, the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit needs to come upon your life, just like it had to come upon my life. Let's go back to Jesus' life. Jesus was the Son of God from the moment that he was conceived. Jesus was the Son of God from the moment that he was born. Jesus was the Son of God from the moment that he could walk. When he was 12 years old and he was sitting in the temple and he was talking about things that freaked out every Pharisee there, he was the Son of God. But the power of God did not flow through him until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. When he went into the desert and John the Baptist baptized him and the Spirit of God came down like a dove, that day the power of God entered him and pushed what was inside outside. And he would never be the same man again. We can all experience exactly the same thing. Now, I'm not saying that you're Jesus. I'm saying that we can experience exactly what Jesus experienced. You want to know the power of God? You have to come under the power of God. Now, there's another problem, because when people see the power of God, they want to run away. You see, when the power of God moves, strange things happen. I told you earlier on that God is supernatural, and God moves in supernatural ways. The Bible says that when the Spirit of God moves, the carnal man cannot understand it. In fact, the Bible says, for the carnal man, when the Spirit of God moves, it is foolishness unto him. We need to get to a place that we take our mind and we say, listen, yeah, even if it doesn't make sense to me, because it's in the Bible, I choose to accept it. When the Spirit of God moves, it doesn't have to make sense to your mind. You have to accept it with faith. And by that, I'm not trying to advocate unbiblical things. The Word of God is our yardstick. The Word of God is our rule. But have you read the Bible? How did Jesus cure diseases? Well, in strange ways. Jesus would put mud in a blind person's eyes. How's that conducive to you seeing? It's probably not. But when the Holy Spirit is operating, it works. And the blind eyes opened. There was a man that couldn't speak. Jesus said, stick out your tongue. He stuck out his tongue. What did Jesus do? What would you do if you saw that happen? And the next moment, the guy started speaking. Even if it was just to say, what the frick now, you know? He still spoke. Come on. Does that make sense to you? Not really, but does it work? Yes, it does. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there and God does what he wants. The fact is, many times we put God in a box. It's like we've already told God what he can and cannot do. That's why the church has no power. Because the church wants to be in charge. The church cannot be in charge. God must be in charge. You don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. Too many places want to tell God what to do, and then they wonder why there's no fire. They wonder why there's no power. They wonder why there's no signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to tell you something. God still does today what we read in the Bible. Everything that's in the Bible is true, and it still happens today. But you have to come to the point that you take a step back and you say, Lord, you go. Take charge. Take charge of my life. Take charge of this meeting. And you will see what God will do for you. I want you to close your eyes and just listen to this quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. There are some of you here tonight, you are so deep in the dwang, you don't even know You can't fathom how to get out. It's a good thing you can't fathom how to get out. Because nothing in your mind can prepare you for what God is about to do. There are some of you are lost, and you know that you are lost. You are so far from the light, no matter how hard you look, you can't see it. Guess what? Even though you don't understand it, God has probably decided to change your life radically, drastically, and forever. And He could do it tonight. There are some of you've planned your whole life and nothing wants to work. The reason nothing wants to work is because that's not what God has planned for you. Guess what? God's got a different plan. What am I trying to say to you? God changed my life because it needed to be changed. Maybe your life needs to be changed too. Maybe you are trying to swim upstream when you should be going downstream. You just don't realize it. I do believe that God wants to minister to people. I do believe we are now entering the season of Pentecost. The season of Pentecost is the season where the Spirit of God was poured out. Jesus said in the last days, says the Lord, my Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. That means you. And if you are willing to open your heart and if you are willing to trust God, you have no idea what is about to come into your life. You could wake up tomorrow morning and everything is different. I want you to just ponder that a little bit. Because I want to say to you tonight, you are in a place where the Holy Spirit is going to move. You are in a place where anything is possible, not because of me. It's got nothing to do with me. God is in the house. The Spirit of God is here. And He wants to minister to people. And it's up to you to make that decision. Am I going to go forward or am I going to stay seated? Am I going to trust God or will I trust my mind? Will I put my faith in the Holy Spirit for my future or am I going to keep plodding along regardless, doing my own thing? I don't know about you. It's always better when God is in charge. I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe that to some extent, the testimony that I shared with you tonight and the scripture that I used spoke to you? Well, just wave your hands at me. Well, bless God for that. Then what I want to do with you tonight, I'm not really going to pray for anything specific, but what I'm going to pray for is for the power of God, for the fire of God, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. And for God to begin to show you what the scripture says, what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's time for you to know what God has prepared for your life. It's time for you to get on track. Because when you go with God, you go somewhere. When you go alone, that's just the problem. You'll always be alone. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Jemima, please come forward. Now Jemima's sitting at the back. Don't stress. It's not going to be like that day when you and Stelios came to my house. It won't be like that.